And I am Tom Chandler, and I'm also like to introduce my colleague, Jonathan Surrey, who will soon be joining me. And the title of this is The Use of High-Definition Time-Lapse Photography to Simulate the Operation of a Point-of-Dispensing Pod Clinic and Its Use for Training Pod Managers. And another author on this was Michael J. Riley, who unfortunately was not able to make it to the presentation today. And we are at the National Center for Disaster Preparedness at Columbia University. We have no disclosures, so we're good to go with that. The National Center for Disaster Preparedness is funded by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, and it's a preparedness and emergency response learning center. It's one of 14 that are situated at universities throughout the United States. And the objectives of this presentation are to describe the instructional design of a pod time-lapse video, display some video samples, so we'll actually be showing some video, and discussing the findings from a preliminary evaluation of a pod leadership course that we conducted with the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. So some of you may be asking, what the heck is a pod anyway?
Who does know what a pod is?
Okay, well, basically, certain types of disaster events, such as the release of a bioterrorist agent or a large flu pandemic, say something like the anthrax in the U.S. postal system in 2001 or H1N1 in 2009, there's a need for county and municipal public health agencies to ramp up their response and distribute antibiotics to thousands of people very quickly and very effectively. And one of our tasks as a learning center is to be able to train the public health workforce on the most effective ways to set up and manage these types of point dispensing sites, which are often conducted at large auditoriums or high school gymnasiums. And so we were brainstorming one day about ways that we could do this in training, and we thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could do a time-lapse video of lots of people going through a pod and then speed up the video and then have the ability to draw on it and use that for online and face-to-face trainings. And so we thought, how can we do that effectively? So, and we're going to go through the steps we took for this presentation. So a little bit of background before we get to that. Time-lapse was used extensively in the early 20th century as part of the, there was a book, The Principles of Scientific Management by Frederick Taylor, and then there was another researcher named Frank Bunker Gilbreth, who did a lot of videos, which you can actually search for and find on YouTube, which are kind of interesting, that are their early time-lapse videos about training the public health workforce. And there's one that's very famous about the process of bricklaying, and he showed a more effective way that the task of bricklaying could be carried out. Then by the late 20th century, it became very popular in Monday Night Football. So you might remember seeing John Madden speeding up a tape of a touchdown and then drawing on it. And now we see it a lot with YouTube, everything from plants growing to God knows what else, and shows like the Discovery Channel. So lots of really innovative ways in which this technology is being incorporated. But then we started to think, well, where is it in public health training, both for face-to-face and online, and how could this add value? So we incorporated it into a pod leadership training and for the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. And then we were trying to think of if we could generate a model that would be more generic and be available for public health agencies throughout the United States, which we're working on now. So I will now pass the torch over to my colleague, Jonathan.
All right. So I don't know if anybody's ever done any filming or anything like that, but it required an extreme amount of logistics that we had to develop our own ICS for our filming team just to manage the day. We partnered with a health department on Long Island who volunteered their staff, volunteered their MRC, their CERT team, and we got a gymnasium where we set up all of this filming equipment. So just a little bit of a background, there's been There are many different flavors of pods out there, and everybody has their own theory, and each health department will run it their own way. We like this model, and this was developed by Nathaniel Hupert and Dr. Stephen Morse. You enter the pod, you go for screening. If they feel like you need some mental health services, which are often overlooked during a disaster or pre-disaster, you could go for mental health screening or services. You pick up your information. If you need evaluation right away, if you're extremely ill, you can head over to medical evaluation. Or if you just need to, you know, get your information, you can go to dispensing and pick up either your prophylactic or get your vaccination, and then you're out of there. Special assistance is set up for non-English speakers, those with special needs or have other disabilities. So here's our model. We created this using Google SketchUp. At the very front, top corner, is the entrance, griage, which is a combination of greeting and triage. People would come in there, they would be greeted, and triage. If they were extremely sick, they would either head out the exit and be taken away by EMS because you don't want sick people. And just a caveat, you never really want griage in the same room as everybody else because you could have sick among the well. But for our intents and purposes, we kept them in the same room because we wanted to see what that looked like. You pick up your forms, you go to screening. After screening, you can pick up your drugs at dispensing and drop off your forms and exit out. Or if you needed to, sorry, this model is actually switched, you would go to medical evaluation, which should be right here, then go back to dispensing and head out. So we'll show you what this would look like if you were on a bird's eye view. So we actually filmed from a scissor lift, looking down, as you just saw. We would enter in the front door, griage, forms, screening. If you needed it, we'd walk you over to eval, where an MD would be staffed there. Then you would pick up your medication and you would head out. Yay. All right. So Tom is going to pick up this next little section.
Yeah, so we had this this model in our heads, and then we got into the reality of the space where we were actually had to conduct all of this. So the rubber hit the road, and we had to decide what was the most effective way to do this. We had initially wanted to go from the top of the ceiling, and then we decided that using the scissor lift would be a more effective approach for the actual filming. And this is the scissor lift that we used. And I just wanted to highlight that a lot of gymnasiums have something like this available, and a camera that can film the time-lapse video is not really that expensive. So this is really a fairly cost-effective technology that can be incorporated into training that can be considered. This is the camera person at the top of the lift, filming from that perspective, which we saw before. When we were looking at the queuing theories that Nathaniel Hupert had provided, which Jonathan mentioned, we saw that in reality with how people were lining up for the pod. We also included a number of injects in the training, which were basically actors who were presenting to the staff in the pod with fairly unexpected problems that the staff would need to react to. So this is one person who's being told that she needs to take a medication and she doesn't want to take it, and she becomes very angry and aggressive. And there's one of our staff members in the back with a megaphone who's also trying to direct the training. So I'll now pass it over to Jonathan again.
All right. So this is what we ended up with. I have to say we had no idea what we were going to come up with, and we tried to create a very manufactured situation, and I'll talk about some of the limitations at the end of this, but this is what it ended up looking like, if it'll play. No? Really? It played? All right, well, that's fine, because I have another clip. Now it's frozen. All right, I'll show you that in a minute. I think it's trying to play it. So we were asked by the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene to put together a customized pod training for their pod managers. They had a lot of problems with their pod managers really not being able to make their own decisions very effectively and independently. They were always having to go up the chain of command to have to request permission or get other information to make a decision on themselves, and they wanted to make their staff and their pod managers a little more self-sufficient and able to make some higher level decision making on their own. So the training was comprised of an overview of pod leadership roles and responsibilities. We incorporated decision making skills and different decision making models. We have the interactive problem solving in a pod section that we'll show you in a second. And also managing difficult staff and client encounters, internal and external. So if this plays, yes. Okay, so just watch and see what you think. Look for any problems, any issues.
Okay. That was me on the back.
Anybody notice anything else?
Everybody walks by the potentially sick and infectious person.
Okay. What else?
Yeah, random backups at various points. Like sometimes people are moving through something and it's done and a little clump of people at one station.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? So those are all good things, and one of the things we hope to achieve here is to understand the throughput and the queuing and knowing where those bottlenecks may occur. So I'm gonna narrate over this as if it was a training. So right now, we noticed there was an incident. Somebody is sick. They just collapsed. One of the physicians came over and came to deal with the situation. The goal here is to keep the throughput and people moving toward the exit. And right now that goal is being achieved. But right there is where we have a potential bottleneck because everybody has to come through here, whether they're coming from eval or special assistance. Now, what we should have had here is a flow controller, somebody standing there to make sure that the traffic was moving through and that nobody was getting stuck there and they were directed in the proper direction. And right here, you'll notice this gentleman just cut through the middle of the two tables, and he should not have done that. And so as the EMS team are working, it's good that nobody's stopping and looking and disrupting the flow of the pod. And we're going to make sure that they can get out through the exit where EMS is standing by. And they're wrapping up, and they're going to wheel him right out. And business as usual. So that's an example of how you could use something like that as a problem-solving tool. You guys were able to make your own conclusions and your own observations, and then we could walk you through it as well and the kinds of things that we see.
Okay, so we did incorporate this into a face-to-face pod leadership course as one of the training modules. So learners went through it, and they used this video, which you just saw, as a discussion tool. And really, what they liked about it was providing a way to think about the mistakes that could possibly occur in a pod scenario, and to spot those mistakes in the video, and then have discussions about it, and then have the trainer point those out with drawing tools they found to be a very effective part of the training, which they had indicated in the feedback. So 17 indicated that they agreed, 32% indicated that they, I'm sorry, 17 strongly agreed, 32% indicated that they agreed. And so better integration of the video made this module much easier to understand. So of all the different modules that they looked at, they found the one with the video to be the most effective.
All right, so here's where you have the human element. So we did a just-in-time training for the MRC, for the health department staff, for CERT, police, fire, EMS were all there. So police, fire, EMS fell into their official roles. They did not listen to us. They were very official. They directed the pod volunteers to go where they should go as if it were a real event, which is great because they're trained well, but it was bad for us because we were really trying to understand a little bit more about flow and throughput. But what it did create is a more realistic situation. And the other thing that we did not think about were all of the volunteers that are MRC or CERT volunteers who go into these events and they manufacture their own situation. So they come in and they can't speak English, or they come in and they can't speak, or they can't hear. And so all the health department employees, despite what we asked them to do, was just keep people moving, dealt with the situation as if it were a real event. Again, great for them, but it wasn't the kind of product that we, you know, were originally intending. But that's okay, because we're happy with it. So Thomas is going to wrap it up.
Okay. Overall, the time-lapse video has the potential to add value to public health training efforts. It's an excellent fit for pod training, particularly for online and face-to-face training environments, which we're working on including this in both. And we feel that it could really add value for both, primarily as a new way to visualize information in a way that you can't really do with a pencil and paper or any other format. And that's the area where we feel that the technology can add the most value by visualizing something in a way that is not possible elsewhere.
And due to the time compression, we're able to see a lot more happening in a much shorter period of time. Mm-hmm. So you're not watching a boring hour of pod.
Yeah. And as we mentioned in the beginning, that there's really not much research about how this particular technology can be incorporated into public health training environments. And it's really a new area that we find very interesting. And we're going to be including this content in our learning management system. And we'll be releasing that to the public shortly. So any other questions, we'll be happy to answer at the end of the presentation. Thank you.